Hey, welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to It's Just Life. This is episode number 10, which is kind of a mini milestone for us, at least to have gotten to 10 episodes, especially because I recently read that most podcasts last for only 7 episodes and then are discontinued. So I feel pretty good. We got past that hurdle. We're up to number 10 and we're going strong. So thanks for joining us here today. This is Karen, by the way. And today we have a really interesting topic to discuss. We're going to go a little deep into our vulnerability. Right, Gia?
Yes, we are. Hi, everybody. Hope you're doing well. This is Gia, the daughter of Karen. And I'm really proud of us that we've done 10 episodes. It's honestly flown by, but we have like so much to talk about that we will keep going with this.
Yeah, seriously. Not only do we spend hours on the phone recording podcasts, we spend additional hours on the phone every week just talking to each other. So we can go on. We can keep this up for a long time.
We've got a lot of material.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I am excited to talk about our topic today because I think we'll hit home for a lot of people. It's been a big topic for both of us in our lives, and that is the topic of failure. So, Mom, why don't you introduce our topic?
Yes. I mean, we've kind of known for a while that we are going to have to talk about failure at some point, but what really triggered it this week is that I came across an article by an author titled What to Do When No One Shows Up for Your Book Signing. And so I really related to this guy as an author, and it was kind of a humorous but poignant and painful story about when his first book came out, the very first book signing he ever did at a bookstore. And he tells the whole story of getting dressed and choosing just the right clothes and how excited he is. And he leaves 45 minutes earlier than he has to make sure he gets there on time and everything's set up okay. Just so excited and in his innocence, just anticipating this amazing event that will happen. And then no one shows up. And so he describes just the humiliation and the pain and the question in his mind of what do I do? How do I handle this? And so I read it and then I forwarded it on to Gia because I knew like both of us would feel strongly this pain of that sense of failure when you do something from your heart and no one is there to receive it or no one shows up. And so that triggered a long conversation about our experience with failure and convinced us that we really need to do a podcast on it.
Yeah. I liked his article. I thought it was, like you said, really poignant. And I so felt for him because we have both kind of been there before. When you have these big expectations of your success, especially when you're a newbie and you haven't had the opportunity to fail very many times and you're so hopeful and optimistic, and then things just like crash on you sometimes. And yeah, I really felt for him in the article because it's just such a big topic for me. I've dealt with failure. I am currently dealing with failure and dealing with a fear of failure. And in a way, I think it's important to kind of like dispel this myth of failure being this big, like drastic thing. Because yes, it's painful and it's scary when it happens. But I think the more you get used to failure, the easier it becomes and the less it's like such a big deal to you. You kind of just take it as part of the journey. Go ahead, Mom.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, I've been, I get a lot of articles for entrepreneurs and startup companies that I read from time to time. And failure is a really big topic in the startup world. And they have slogans like fail fast, fail forward, fail often. And they're all about embracing the idea of failure and moving through it, learn what you can, move on to the next thing, which has baffled me because it feels so, so hard to me that I'm amazed that they could they could even say it's possible to fail often and fail fast. And this mindset they have of just moving through it quickly.
Yeah, I think that's kind of empowering. I think it's pretty wise of them to talk about having that lightheartedness around your projects and your endeavors. It kind of reminds me of what we talked about in our last podcast about, or two podcasts ago, about creativity and how you will get ideas, and sometimes they're kind of meant to fail. And if you hold on too tightly to each one of your ideas and each one of your projects, you're kind of missing out on the next inspiration, and you're missing out on the next opportunity to possibly find success because you're holding on so tightly to a failed project from before. So I think it's hard to know, is this something I'm supposed to let go of, or am I supposed to like fight through this and make it happen?
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I have kind of had a pathological reaction to failure when it's happened. And so I've allowed it to traumatize me in a way, and then created such a fear of failure that there have been times when I haven't moved forward. I haven't followed my guidance or inspiration because I was so afraid before I even started that it might fail. And I wasn't sure that I could handle the pain of failure.
Right. And in that regard, I like what these startup guys are saying, that you kind of just become desensitized to quote unquote failure, which is kind of like a vague term. Like, what does it really mean to fail? I think we all have high expectations of ourselves or high standards, and maybe even something small going wrong, we would consider a failure because we're so hard on ourselves. But in actuality, is it all over? Did we completely lose everything? Probably not. You know, it was probably just like one stumble, one rut in the path. Mm-hmm. But I've recently been dealing with a lot of anxiety and fear about failure around my yoga classes, which you know plenty about, Mom. Mm-hmm. but for our audience, I'll explain. I've been teaching yoga for about 3.5 years now. And I've taught classes in LA, I've taught private lessons, I've taught at gyms, I've taught at yoga studios. I'm currently teaching at a corporate gig for a coding school, two different studios, as well as private clients. So I've had a lot of like different, you know, successes with teaching yoga. I've had numerous people tell me they loved my class, it was the best class they've ever had. And numerous situations where I would sub for another teacher and the students would be like, where else are you teaching? We want to take your class again. So I've had lots of success with yoga. And recently, I've been having this phenomenon where my group classes are just like empty. I've hardly been able to get any of them off the ground and get a good following going. And this past week, I had a class on Monday night and a class on Wednesday night, and for the first time ever, no one showed up to both. No one showed up to either of those classes. And so I was dealing with all of this fear, and even a couple months ago when no one would show up, I would have to confront my own fear of failure. Is this about me? Did I do something wrong? Am I not a good enough teacher? Do I need to change the way I'm teaching? Do I need to quit teaching? And I've been going through a lot and feeling like I'm a little bit sick of teaching yoga in the group setting because it doesn't pay that well. It's not that reliable. And sometimes I'm not able to kind of bring my full gift forward, which is a lot more about energy work, meditation, and sound healing. So I've kind of been feeling this resistance to teaching yoga. And then suddenly my classes are empty. And so I've been going through a lot of different phases of analyzing this. Is it me? Is it timing? Is it time to quit? Is it time to change something? Am I meant to just get through this? So I don't know. It's been really interesting. And I think my current perspective on it is that if I'm not feeling it and the universe isn't supporting it, it might be time to change.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the places where it gets confusing for us because we're trying to figure out how to interpret the failure. Like, is it some sort of sign? Is it guidance when it appears that we've failed at something? Is that guidance? And like the like the startup entrepreneurs, should we just fail fast? Like, yep, let's quit that. Let's move on. Let's do something else. And is the failure itself guidance, or is there some other lesson to learn from it? And I think that's where we, as more spiritually focused entrepreneurs, get hung up sometimes, because the work that we're doing comes from our hearts and from our souls, and we're just trying to be on our highest paths here and asking the universe for support and asking for signs that we're doing the right work. And that's why a failure, it can be very confusing, because we're not sure, is this the universe saying to me, quit, be like the entrepreneurs, let it go, move on? Or is the universe saying, you need to learn something about failure?
Yeah, exactly. I love what you were saying about that, because for us as spiritual entrepreneurs, it's not just business. I think for the startup guys, it's like so impersonal to them. It's like, oh yeah, it's our team. We came up with it. It's just business. We put it out there. If it doesn't work, we let it go. For us, it is our spiritual path, and it is ourselves and our hearts that we're bearing. It's our souls that we're putting on the line, and we're opening ourselves and being so vulnerable by saying, this is me and this is what I'm here to teach. And if it goes wrong, it's so much harder to accept, because you just think, is there something wrong with me? Am I not listening to my guidance? Am I not following my path? And especially because you and I are both solo entrepreneurs, Mom.
Yeah.
So we can't even really, you know, rely on anybody else to say, we'll get through it, don't worry, I know what it is, like, we'll work on this instead. It's hard not to take it personally. In a way, it is personal, but I think we need to have the utmost compassion for ourselves as we're going through these lessons.
And you and I have a shared story of failure that it's been so painful for us. I think it's been over 2 years now, hasn't it, since our event happened?
Yeah, I think it was February 2014.
Yeah, that honestly, it's been even hard for us to talk about it. And I think both of us were kind of traumatized by this failure that happened. So we need to describe to people what happened. But it was the first time ever you and I decided to try doing something together, to try to teach a workshop together, which we were so inspired about. And it was so exciting that we were going to co-teach something.
Yeah, we had been wanting to work together for a long time on something. And I was living in LA at the time, and you were in Colorado. And we decided to put together a self-love workshop for women, because we have both seen how important it is to find unconditional love for yourself. And so we both kind of like collaborated our ideas, right?
Yeah, and it was going to be a yoga plus writing workshop, with you teaching the yoga, me teaching the writing, so we'd both be able to use our expertise during the workshop. And it was actually a really great idea. I mean, it was really inspired, and it was a really beautiful thing that we were creating together.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's been really painful for us to look at this experience. And like, we're now able to laugh at it, but I think deep down we both still hold on to it a little bit, like just this fear of like, if this happened again, how would we handle it, you know? And
yeah,
I do laugh at it because it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I think when I read the article about the author and his first book signing, I think we had that same innocence about us, because it was not only our first time to work together, but for both of us, really the first time that we had tried doing a workshop, a face-to-face live workshop with people in a room together. So we
Right.
were totally naive, totally uninitiated in this world, and we had such kind of grandiose ideas of how amazing it was going to be.
Well, yeah, like now looking back on it, having been in my business a little bit longer, and I'm sure you can say the same, Mom, looking back, I can point out some specific things we did wrong from a business standpoint. So that kind of makes it easier than just saying, we suck, we're failures, and no one likes us, and no one wants to listen to what we have to say, or our idea sucked, you know? I can think of now specific things we did wrong that just set it up to fail. So
yeah.
For example, you know, I was living in LA, which is a massive, massive city, and you know, you weren't there to help me market it. And so I made some flyers for our workshop, and more than once I was like going around to post these flyers at like Whole Foods and coffee shops and stuff. And I broke down a couple different times as I was doing this because I was feeling so much resistance and so much fear inside. Like, this was not it. This is not the right way to go about it. And so I was like, and as you know, Mom, I'm very connected to my emotions, and my feelings often are my intuition and my guidance telling me something. And so I'm like totally stuck. And I called you, and I was like crying on the phone. I was just like, I can't do this. I don't know what's going on. This feels so wrong. And so I drove all over the city posting flyers, which was stupid because nobody in LA is going to drive across to LA to go to a workshop hosted by someone they've never met. And we didn't have, you know, the venue we chose was like an art studio that didn't have, I mean, they had some art students who would come, but it wasn't a yoga studio or a writing clinic or something where
yeah.
people interested in what we're teaching would be there, who would see our flyer and know the location and want to be a part of it. So we just didn't know anything about how to host a successful workshop, how to market it to people. And like, I have since learned that people need to know you in order to sign up for your stuff, or at least know something, like know the location and trust the location. Like if you're a member at a yoga studio and they have a guest teacher coming in to teach, you know and trust the studio, and so you're more likely to attend the workshop. If you know the teacher, even better. But if you're a total stranger in a massive city marketing some random workshop in a weird location you've never been, it's not going to happen.
Well, and also, like, I'm sitting here in Colorado with kind of this idealistic, floating in the clouds attitude of, you know, if you build it, they will come. Like, if all we have to do is put it on and people will show up, the universe will bring us whoever's meant to come. Don't worry. We don't even need to market. It will just
yeah.
happen. Like, that was completely unrealistic as well. And then we called it the Self-Love Workshop for Women, which was pretty much a stupid name for a workshop. I mean it didn't really like have any spice to it, or you know, it wasn't like really compelling or intriguing or exciting.
I even had a couple people joke about that being like a masturbation thing. And I was like, no, it's yoga and writing.
Oh my gosh. So again, we were naive. We just didn't know. We'd never done anything, and we didn't even hadn't even been educated about how to do it.
And I can say, I don't know about you, Mom, but I can say that at this time I was in a really low place energetically in terms of my self-confidence, my self-esteem. I had just finished music school and felt really lost and kind of discouraged about my path, and was very unsure of where the money was going to come from, what my path was meant to, you know, where I was supposed to go. So I was in a really bad place to be hosting this workshop because I didn't believe in myself at all. And so in a way, I feel like that may have cluttered up some of the guidance, or, you know, part of the success that could have come. It was like, I was not in a good place to be even providing this kind of guidance. What about you?
Well, for me, when we started planning the workshop, which was the fall before, because we worked on it for months, when we started planning it, I was kind of on a high. I was kind of on a roll at that time, and a lot of things were like going really well for me. I was, I had started my end of life university interview series and had people sign up for it. And I was feeling really great. Like, yeah, everything's going well. And, you know, I was feeling pretty positive when we started planning it. But over the holidays that year, over Christmas and New Year's, you know, my mom, Grammy, died the January before that. And yeah. So over Christmas and then in January of that year, I went through a big reaction over her death, and it kind of plummeted me down. And so I lost all my energy too. By February, I was no longer in that place of all this energy and excitement for our workshop. I was also in a place where I was thinking, wow, what is going on? What am I doing? And reliving some of my grief over Grammy's death and reprocessing that, which meant that it was not a good time at all to be trying to teach a workshop, because I was stuck in like all my own thoughts and things I needed to work on, just like you were. For both of us, it didn't make sense. We were out there trying to teach people something that we ourselves didn't really have a handle on at that time.
Yeah, and we have since joked about how we hosted a self-love workshop and we're the ones who attended it, because we got a big lesson in how to love yourself, you know, despite failure, despite completely getting off track. And it was painful, but we both joked about it later, like, oh, so we were the ones who needed to learn how to love ourselves. I get it.
I remember sitting together the night before and saying, you know what? I pretty much hate myself right now. And like the realization that, oh my God, like we're putting on a workshop, but we're not in the right place to teach it. Yet we'd posted all the flyers. We'd put it out on Facebook. You know, we had made a big deal out of it. I wrote about it in my newsletter. I sent out emails to everyone on my list, including everyone that lived in the LA area. You know, and I heard back from a lot of people, oh, I'd love to come, but I can't, you know, and so we'd been turned down by basically everyone that we had personally invited, and no one had registered for our workshop online at all.
Right. No one had signed up in advance, and we had gotten together maybe, I can't remember how long it was before, maybe a month before. To plan the workshop, right?
Yeah, well, we'd been talking off and on, but I came out a week early, a week before the workshop started.
Oh, okay. So it was a week before we were hanging out, and we wrote down all of our stuff. And, Mom, you had a specific notebook that you had written down your plans in for the workshop,
yes.
Right? And then
yes.
Tell everybody what happened.
Well, first of all, like I keep copious notes on these legal pads, and I have like dozens of them everywhere with all kinds of notes about everything I think about, because that's kind of how I am, this airhead person. So I write everything down, but I have all these identical legal pads that are scattered everywhere. So when I was packing to come for our workshop, I gathered up a bunch of legal pads. I didn't really check to make sure I had the right one, but I assumed I did because I was bringing, you know, 5 or 6 of them. So I assumed I had the right one, but I got there and I did not have the notes that I had written for my portion of the workshop. They weren't with me. And not only that, but I couldn't exactly remember what I had written down. Like I couldn't remember, like, what was my great idea? I had some really great idea that I wrote down like a month ago, but I don't know what it was and I can't remember it. So this was happening a week before a workshop. Like here I brought all these pages of notes, but none of them were the right thing.
Right. And so I remember the night before the workshop, we're both like scared shitless because no one has signed up. And we had talked to a couple people who were like, we were friends or acquaintances with, and they expressed interest. And, you know, we were saying the night before, we were like, the only thing worse than no one coming tomorrow is these two specific people both coming, because it would just be the most awkward combination and the most uncomfortable thing of all time. And lo and behold, what happened, Mom?
Yes, those, well, first of all, we decided, we still thought no one would come, basically. I mean, we had kind of accepted that, but we decided we're such troopers, we're going to go to that art studio, we're going to set up our yoga mats, we're going to bring our strawberries and dark chocolate and bottles of water.
Aww.
We're going to bring it all, and we're going to set it up and be prepared, you know, in case the universe is going to bless us or surprise us with like five total strangers who saw the flyers who are going to come to the workshop. So we went there with such good faith, and we decided, like, we're showing up because the universe asked us to do this, and we're going to do it. So we went there and showed up and set up, and I think we had a plan that if no one came after 30 or 40 minutes, we'd eat all the strawberries and the chocolate,
yep.
and then we'd leave. And
yep.
so that's kind of how
At that point, I was kind of hoping no one would come because I had such a bad feeling about it. But I was like, oh, it'd be a relief if no one came and you and I just eat our strawberries and pretend like it never happened and we'll never tell anyone.
That's what I thought, too. That's exactly where I was. Like, oh, well, see, I forgot my notes. So that's a sign that it's not even meant to take place. It's not meant to happen. No one will come and it'll be okay. We'll get through this. We will get through this together. But then suddenly in the door walks one of the two people that we were hoping wouldn't come. And we thought, well, it'll be okay. If it's only this one person, we'll explain.
That would
like,
be
look,
fine.
Nobody showed up. Let's just do some yoga. Let's just talk for a little while. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
But maybe 5 minutes later, the second person came.
And we were like, oh my God, we are the worst people ever. Like we predicted this horrible, awkward situation, and here it is.
Well, yeah, if there's any evidence for the law of attraction, that moment would be it. We just stated last night, this would be our worst nightmare, and here it is, taking place for us right before our eyes.
Yeah.
Those two people in the room, and there was it was completely awkward, as you described, because we could have handled those two being there if there were like two or three other people, you know, to mix it up so it was a group of people. But those two who came were so different from one another and had completely different needs that we had to speak to them from completely different places. Different language, different understanding, you know, different levels of spiritual development, so different that it was completely daunting to both of us to figure out how do we even address these two people.
Yeah, and I knew both of them ahead of, you know, in advance, and so I did feel a little bit embarrassed to be seen failing in front of them.
That's
because
true.
If it was strangers, it's like, ah, I don't really care if they come to the workshop and there's only two people. But it was like, I sort of cared what these two people thought about the fact that the workshop did not go over well and that they were the only people there.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt that too. I felt the fear of shame and failure in front of them. And so for me, already I'd been set up that I forgot my notes and I couldn't remember what the one amazing thing was that I was going to say. And so the first half of our workshop was mostly about us talking. Then we had a little break and we were supposed to do journaling right after the break, which was my big thing, to lead the journaling. And then as we, you know, gathered again, you said, so should we go ahead and do some journaling? And one of the people who in attendance said, no, let's just do yoga. And that was so devastating to me. I felt completely invalidated, like, oh, my whole idea of journaling, like no one even likes to journal. No one wants this. No one even wants writing. And that's the only thing I know and the only thing I know how to do. And then I abandoned you because I moved my yoga mat over by the two students instead of being up front with you as a teacher. I just completely dropped out at that point. I was just so humiliated. I felt so worthless and so like of no value whatsoever that I just became a student and let you just taught a yoga class for the rest of the workshop.
Yeah, that's it. Pretty much just became my thing, my yoga class, you know, mixed in with some strawberries and chocolate. And it was painful for both of us. And I had been in a space of feeling so afraid to fail that to actually fail was like extra devastating. But I think that it was perfectly placed and timed in both of our lives because, and I think like, okay, we were meant to fail. I think we both needed to go through that experience and learn how to love ourselves nonetheless, you know, take our own medicine. I think both of us can move forward now a little less afraid to fail, having gone through failure and seen what it's like and known that there's a lot more to it than, you know, we're just not good at what we do.
Yeah. And it wasn't until, I think it was just a few months ago, we were actually talking about the workshop. I mean, because we'd both been in pain for a long time and we'd been traumatized, I really think, in our ability to kind of take risks and put new products out there. Both of us had been really hesitant and really nervous about that ever since the workshop. And that's when we had a conversation about it and suddenly realized like, oh my God, the self-love workshop was for us. We were the actual students of the workshop. And the whole thing was a setup to help us see where we need to love ourselves more and how we need to love ourselves for trying and love ourselves for, you know, every mistake we made and if they really were mistakes and for our unmet expectations and our disappointment and our hurt. And it was really all to teach us that we need to love ourselves more.
Yep, absolutely. And there were a lot of business lessons involved too, you know, like I said, like there's a good way and a less good way of how to go about hosting a workshop and where to host it and how to market it. And those are things that we've both gotten better at since. And looking back, I feel like, you know, maybe we both had some guidance that showed us like, hey, you know what, this isn't going to go that well, but it's going to be good for you. Like all of my anxiety about posting flyers and, you know, you kind of being depressed at the time and forgetting your notebook or your notepad. Like there were signs that it's like, this is going to be hard, but good for you. So it's like, you can't avoid failure. I think failure is a really important part of the process. And I just want to say that I have now come full circle. You know what? It's funny that we're doing this podcast right now because I have not taught a workshop since that failed workshop. And next Thursday, I'm flying to Portland, taking a train to Seattle, and I'm teaching a workshop in Seattle where I've never been. And I have never been to this yoga studio, but I got the guidance. I got the guidance to do it. So I contacted some yoga studios in Seattle. I offered them a workshop that I want to teach, and they loved it. And people are already signing up, and I'm going out of my state just to go teach it. And I'm excited about it. I'm not even worried about failing because I know people have already signed up. So this is the first workshop I will have taught since the failed workshop. And I already feel the magic around it. I already feel good energy around it because I listened to my guidance and I followed my inspiration and this kind of materialized out of nowhere.
Wow. I mean, it's really fun to see it come full circle. But I think one of the really good things about our self-love workshop is that we had the courage to show up. Even in the face of failure, we had the courage to do it, to just show up and be there and go through the pain of it. So we didn't run away. We didn't just tape a sign on the door that said canceled. We sat there and we waited and we allowed those two people to come and we did the workshop. I mean, we did it in the midst of feeling humiliation and pain, but that took a lot of courage and I'm really proud of us for that.
Yeah. I totally love us for that. And even when our worst nightmare came true and the two most awkward people showed up, we didn't tell them, hey, you know, we decided to not host it unless there was at least five people. So sorry to have you guys come down here, but we're going to head out now. We full on, we did the best we could, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that reminds me of the author in the article that I read. Like, he went ahead and did his book reading, and there were two women who were, you know, sitting there drinking coffee who listened to him read his book, and one of them bought the book and became his fan, you know, because, but he went ahead and stood in front of rows of empty chairs and did the reading like he had agreed to do. And I think that's powerful. It's powerful when you're willing to put yourself on the line like that and even endure the humiliation to the ego that the ego is experiencing, but knowing like this is what I've been called to do. So I'm going to do it even though the conditions didn't work out the way I was hoping they would.
Yeah. I was just thinking that for us spiritual entrepreneurs, when we are going about an endeavor that might be a new project, it might be you're putting yourself out there and being vulnerable and there's a risk that you could fail in your mind, you know, your ego could fail. I think it's so important to set your intention and say a little prayer to the universe that whoever is meant to be there will be there. And then if no one shows up, you can relax. That's perfect. That's exactly who was meant to be there. Just you. If two people come and it's an awkward combination, you can relax and it's meant to happen. Because I think we can both look back and say that was how it was meant to go. And so if you ask for divine intervention to help you with your workshop or with your project, then I think you can sit back and relax and trust the process and trust the outcome without expectation or attachment to being the way you thought it was going to be.
And you're so right. It's the attachment that actually creates the humiliation and the pain. If we had approached that self-love workshop from a true place of self-love and detachment and saying, you know, whatever happens, it's all perfect and we'll be fine with it. I think if we had had that mindset from the beginning, it wouldn't have been nearly as painful. We would have been able to see it, how perfect it was right then in the moment, instead of taking a few years for us to be able to see through the pain.
Yeah, but I guess that lesson showed us what we needed to learn. And now both of us are much more in a place of being able to trust the process and stay detached from the outcome so that miracles can occur and we'll be in the flow and we'll let go of things that don't work out the way we thought they were going to.
Yeah. And I have a quick little follow-up story for me too. The summer after our self-love workshop, I was booked to go speak in Illinois for a hospice conference. And like I was speaking on a Wednesday, and the Friday before I talked on the phone to the organizers and they said, oh, you know, normally we have 200 people who come for this conference, but this year so far only 75 people have signed up. And I instantly felt horrible. And I was the main speaker. In fact, I was the whole morning session of the event, just me, everyone listening to me talk for 3 hours. So the whole thing was built around me as their special guest speaker. And I instantly fell back into that failure paradigm and felt like, oh my gosh, I'm horrible. I've ruined their event. I'm such a bad speaker. Nobody's signing up. Nobody's coming. And now it's hurting them because they're going to lose money because not enough people are coming. And I was like, for the entire weekend, I was in a state of depression. And I really thought, this is it. I'm quitting. I'm never speaking again anywhere because this is obviously a sign. I'm terrible at it and no one comes and no one wants to hear me. And so by Monday morning, though, I woke up and I thought, wait, 75 people are coming. And that's not nothing. That's not no one. And so this will be my last talk I will ever give, but it will be the best one I've ever given because I'm going to love those 75 people and I'm going to make this be the best talk it can be for those 75. So I was able to change my mindset and my attitude and get positive. And I was so focused in on these 75 people help me just send all this love to those people and say the right things and say what they need. So I get to Illinois the day of the event, and the organizers take me out to dinner, and I said something about, so, you know, it's too bad there were only 75 people who signed up. And they said, oh, no, no. It turns out that we found out on Monday that our website was broken, and so no one was able to sign up the week before. And so they said, we fixed it Monday morning, and 120 people signed up in one day. And it was like, oh, so the entire weekend when I was feeling horrible, when I was like, it was set up for me to feel horrible and in despair, there really wasn't anything wrong at all. I was feeling horrible about something that wasn't even true, that wasn't even really happening. But I got myself out of the despair and felt better about it. But all of it was fictitious. Like, it was all in my own head. It wasn't really happening the way I thought it was. But that reminded me again that I've got to stay detached from the very beginning, from the outset, no matter what happens or no matter how it looks, except that it's the perfect thing.
Yep. You're in good hands, you know. You're not out here alone. You've got the entire universe behind you. And what the universe is going to show you, just like I talked about in our last podcast about being jealous of others, the universe is only showing you mirrors to reflect back to yourself. Where could I love myself more? What am I afraid of? And facing those fears, we do, you know, like law of attraction, we do manifest what we're most afraid of so that we can look it square on and just say, hello, I love you anyway. You know, I don't need to have this fear because truly it doesn't matter. And I am in good hands and I am completely loved. So it all just is your perception of reality, because it's clearly what you need to grow from next and how you need to love yourself more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And that was another experience where I could later sit back and look at it and just laugh at that, at the fact that everything was working, was fine. Everything was perfect. There was no need for me to get so upset about it, except that I needed to see that part of myself that wasn't loving me. I needed that to be exposed to me so that I could understand where I need to give more love to myself and more acceptance.
So I think in wrapping up this conversation, is it safe to say that failure is an experience that is meant to be for you so that you can reflect on where you need to love yourself more? And if you put your intentions on the outcome being for the highest good of all, including yourself, then you can sit back, relax, and trust the process and stay unattached to the outcome.
I think that's perfect. I think that describes exactly the mindset that we need to have and the heart set in some ways that we need to have, the openness we need to have in our hearts toward ourselves and toward everything that's happening in our sphere.
Yeah, so I'm wishing you guys all the best of luck on your adventures and your endeavors, and don't be afraid to fail. Be open to however things turn out and know that it was meant for you. And love yourself deeply through it all. Have the most compassion for yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're sharing our stories and making ourselves vulnerable, partly because we think that's the best way to connect with you and to help you look at your own life and look at the areas where you might need to grow as well, and to know you're not alone. We're all here on this path together, trying to sort through these difficulties of life.
Indeed. Check out our show notes, and you can read that article that we spoke about in the beginning of the podcast. And write us a comment if you want to share a story you have about your failures and successes. And we will see you guys next time.
Yeah, I'm also I'll be posting a blog on the show notes at itsjustlifepodcast.com that I wrote about failure last year sometime. So I'll put that on there as well for you to take a look at. Be sure to leave reviews for us on iTunes for our podcast. Thanks again for listening to us. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.